Hello again and welcome back. A new trend in how people move around in an urban environment is showing up all over the country. It's called ride sharing. People hail rides not by calling a taxi, but by using their smartphones and a special app. Everyday drivers who are part of the system show up and take the client where he or she wants to go. It's an inexpensive alternative to taxi cabs, and needless to say, cabbies are not particularly happy. In St. Louis, the courts have put up a stop sign for one rideshare company, Lyft. Here to bring us up to speed on ride sharing and St. Louis Public Radio reporter Rachel Lippman. Rachel, good to see you.
Same here, Don.
Where do we stand now with this thing following the court action against Lyft?
The temporary restraining order issued by Judge David Dowd remains in effect. Lyft attempted to get this move to the federal courts. They wanted the federal court to weigh in. Rodney Sipple earlier this week said he wasn't inclined to do so, but they haven't officially sent that paperwork down saying, no, we're not going to take a look at it. So it's in kind of this weird place where the federal courts have said we're not going to look at it, but it's not official yet. There's supposed to be a hearing on May 6th, next Tuesday, to kind of go over some of the issues and look at whether or not this temporary restraining order should be lifted or turned into a preliminary injunction. But with this kind of limbo period as whether it's a state or federal issue right now, I don't know if that May 6th hearing still kind of holds.
And yet Lyft cars apparently are still on the road.
I checked over the weekend the Lyft app. I know some colleagues just kind of check it randomly. The application was supposed to have been disabled in the area. It's still active as far as I know. And I know they're going to have a big presence down on Cherokee Street this weekend for the Cinco de Mayo festival there.
I wonder how they can get away with that.
What is there really to stop them? The drivers can be cited. There have been drivers mm-hmm. cited, and the vehicles are also cited. But, you know, if people want to take the risk of being cited for violating these Metropolitan Taxi Commission vehicle for hire codes, they're free to do that.
Well, I'm sure that any citation would go against the driver of the car. What about the passengers?
As far as I know, the passengers have not been cited. All yeah. they are doing is, you know, accepting a ride offered or agreed to by someone. They are not technically in violation of the code. It regulates vehicles and the drivers, not the passengers in the Lyft vehicle. The citations have only been for the drivers not having the proper licensing and for the vehicles not being registered with the proper authorities.
I don't suppose it's too difficult to figure out why the Taxi Commission is unhappy with this whole thing.
In reading the briefs provided for this temporary restraining order, they say it's irreparable harm to the commission and that there is an issue of public safety. The taxi cab drivers themselves are not thrilled about it in the sense of they believe it's going to take business away from them. They say they are required to go pick up fares no matter where they are from. The commission, though, it can be argued and is argued by some, is not necessarily they're representing the interests of the drivers. It is the taxi companies they're representing. So the taxi drivers are upset about it. Why the Metropolitan Taxi Commission would be upset about it is perhaps a little bit less clear if you would ask some people.
And yet three of the eight members of the commission are owners of taxi cab.
I believe that companies is dictated by the state law that sets it up. Yes, they yeah. are owners of taxi cab companies. There's four appointed by the city, four appointed by the county, and I believe that there are certain individuals that have to be members of those boards.
What about this other company, Uber, that we hear about? And there's yet a third company, Carmel. I've never heard of that until I got ready for this interview.
Carmel is the only company so far that has actually applied for what's called a dispatch license. It was something new created by the Metropolitan Taxi Commission. They would say to foresee that these companies might want to come in and operate in the St. Louis area. Carmel works by offering sort of a centralized dispatch for already licensed taxi companies. They agreed to, when they applied for the permit, to simply dispatch taxi drivers for taxi companies. They are not they have already been gone through the screening process sponsored by the MTC. Uber, as I understand it from reading their terms of service, operates in sort of a very similar fashion. They are sort of a central dispatch for companies. They are in talks with the City of St. Louis and the Metropolitan Taxi Commission to see if they could get some changes made to some of the ordinances. I think having to deal with the required waiting period, there's a one-hour waiting period for hailing a sedan, so like a chauffeured black car vehicle rather than a taxi cab.
Uber is pretty well established in other parts of the country.
Both Uber and Lyft are yeah. established in other parts of the country. Right. It was, you know, a trend that started west and is kind of slowly moving from both coasts in. Obviously, New York and San Francisco were the hot hot spots for it. Uber is actually a company out of Amsterdam is where they are officially headquartered for legal purposes.
Isn't that always the way it works? Things start on either coast and eventually make their way here.
Well, it's interesting. Some of the cities that Lyft, the one that's at the center of the fight here in St. Louis, has expanded into. It's in Omaha. It's in Columbus. It is in sort of smaller market, less glamorous, perhaps, cities where you might not necessarily expect an app like this to have taken effect, root.
We have an example of how Uber works. Bill Freivogel, who's a member of our legal roundtable, recently was in San Francisco. And let's let him explain how it affected his trip.
There can be a lot of money involved here, too, because I'll give an example, a personal example. It's not from St. Louis, but it's from San Francisco. A month ago, I took a cab from the San Francisco airport to Palo Alto. It cost me $125. A mutual friend of ours, Martha Shirk, said, hey, on the way back, you should call up Uber. You should get Uber, this sort of taxi service on your cell phone and just call for a car. I did, and I could see there was a little map showing how the car was approaching, and it cost $45 so to get back to the airport from Palo Alto. So it's a lot less expensive.
Which is why it's so attractive to a lot of people. Rachel Lipman, we just have a couple of seconds left. The next thing we look for is that hearing on May 6th.
The hearing that it was originally scheduled for May 6th, again, with some of the confusion about whether federal or state courts are currently dealing with this, may change the date of that hearing. But yes, the most recent schedule I saw was that there's a state court hearing May 6th.
All right, Rachel Lipman, thank you so much for being with us, bringing us up to speed, if you will, no pun intended, on the Lyft story. When we come back, Doris Kearns Goodwin. This is St. Louis on the Air on St. Louis Public Radio, 90.7 KWMU.